Lunch with Pippa Hudson. And now,
Consumer Talk, featuring Wendy Nola.
Always great to have Wendy Nola with us in studio. And today we will revisit a company whose customer service was first questioned on the show in July this year. There's been a new development involving another one of their so-called services with some pretty serious financial implications for the unsuspecting customers. So we're going to fill you in on that, catch up on the July case study, and then we'll make some time in the second half hour for your open line calls as well. If you have got a consumer query, that's the time to phone in on 021-446-0567. Welcome back, Wendy. Now, this all started a few months ago in July. We shone a spotlight on a company called Fresh Start, which claims to be South Africa's leading criminal record removal company and the only one with dedicated consultants in the Department of Justice in Pretoria. Also, they claimed. Just remind us a little bit of the context.
Okay, so the Criminal Procedure Amendment Act allows for those convicted of a minor offence 10 or more years ago to qualify for the expungement of their criminal record. The sentence must have been a suspended jail term, so they couldn't have done any time over this, whatever the crime was, correctional supervision or a fine. It can be done free by the person themselves by applying to the Department of Justice for the expungement directly. And if it's granted, the criminal record is permanently removed off the National Criminal Register, allowing them to truthfully say on job, visa or immigration application forms that they have not previously been convicted of a crime. So Fresh Start is one of the companies, not the only one, but as you said there, they claim to be the biggest company that offers to do the application on people's behalf for a fee, of course.
Yeah.
But many people have been complaining on Hello Peter particularly that once they paid their money, they got little to no service and that the promised timelines weren't adhered to. So we focused on one case in particular back in July, that of Joanne, who desperately needed her expungement and police clearance certificate. The two need to, it's basically the police clearance certificate that's the most important with overseas jobs in particular. She needed them in order to take up a nursing post overseas. I'm going to get to her a little bit later, but...
But,
as you said.
Yeah, before that, so Fresh Start cropped up again in your inbox this past week for a completely different reason.
Yes, yes. Unrelated to expungement of criminal records. The email was from a man we'll call Larry because he doesn't want us to reveal his real name.
Okay.
He married his partner in the boardroom of Fresh Start Law Center's very smart Canal Walk offices in July of 2016, so more than 3 years ago now. The man who married them was a registered marriage officer, I think that's the term, by the name of Grant Christopher Buchan. He also claimed to be a notary public, and in that capacity, they paid him to draft, notarize, and register the anti-nuptial contract. So it was a one-stop shop.
Yeah.
They got officially married. That part was fine. And then they paid him to do this, the ANC. It cost all of that cost them just over 2,000 rand. They paid by debit card using Fresh Start Law Center's point-of-sale bank machine.
Okay.
So Larry and his partner left Fresh Start's offices, happy in the knowledge that they were legally married and that they had an ANC. But about a year later, Larry applied for an extension on his bond, and that's when he got a call from the bond attorneys asking for his ANC contract, because it's relevant whether you're married in or out of community of property. Of course, if you're married in community of property, each person shares each other's debts
and assets.
So it's really, really significant financially. And that's when Larry sent them the paperwork that he'd been given by Buchan representing Fresh Start. And then came the second phone call from the attorneys. To my horror, Larry says, the deeds office did not have a registered ANC for us. It was never registered, which means we are now married in community of property.
Okay, so just to recap again, I think it's very important that everyone understands this, just how serious this is. If you haven't specifically signed an anti-nuptial contract and registered it, you are deemed
by default
to be married in community of property. And as you said, that is very serious financial
contractual implications. Yes.
Because if you have an antenuptial contract going into the marriage, what you take in remains yours, and should you separate later, you take that out with you. And you are not responsible for the other person's purchases and debts,
exactly. And in community of property, any agreement you get into must be agreed to by the spouse as well, because you're jointly liable.
And if you unbeknownst to you marry somebody who, for example, is a closet gambling addict who has run up a string of debts, you become 50%. Liable to 50% of those debts. Okay, so it is really a hugely significant step. So back to Larry's case, here he is, happily married, thinking he's married with a registered anti-nuptial contract, and then out of the blue finds out, actually, he's not. So what did he do next, Wendy?
Well, obviously horrified and alarmed, he sought help. He was referred to a firm of attorneys in Cape Town to fix this legal mess. They brought a High Court application requesting leave to effect the registration of a post-nuptial agreement. They had to endorse the title deeds and mortgage bond in the terms of the Deeds Registry Act with respect to the properties that each had owned before they were married. Oof, you can imagine.
What a mess.
In short, they had a number of experiences along the way, and the total cost was just over 61,000 rand. Yeah. So they asked Fresh Start to pay them that amount because, as far as they were concerned, this Buchan, Grant Buchan, had since long, he was only at the company for about 6 to 8 months.
Okay, so he had left already.
Yes, his services had been terminated, according to Fresh Start. So when they asked Fresh Start to pay them that amount, they didn't get a response. And that's when they brought a High Court application asking for that amount plus interest since Feb. The court granted judgment in their favour, says Larry, and the sheriff has now been instructed to attach assets or do whatever is necessary.
So they have a High Court win saying that money must be paid.
Yeah.
But, I mean, such a long and stressful process, and we hope it ends up with them being paid so they have not suffered any financial loss. Okay, so what about the so-called notary public, Grant Buchan, who didn't do what he promised?
So Larry says, and I've had other confirmation, that there's a separate criminal case underway against Christopher Buchan for alleged fraud. It turns out that good friends of Larry's were also married by him at Fresh Start, and also found out they don't have an ANC. I haven't been able to get a definitive answer as to how many others. But
can you imagine thinking, blissfully carrying on thinking that you are married with an ANC and finding out actually your entire state of finances is something completely different
from what you thought?
So this is the big question, Wendy, is how many other people might have been affected? I know you went back to Fresh Start.
Yes.
Tell us what happened.
I contacted Ansar Sachs, who was the CEO of Fresh Start when we did our show in July and until sometime recently. He says he's no longer the CEO anymore, but he did elect to respond on behalf of the company. So I went with that. He said Buchan was specifically employed in Fresh Start's Cape Town office in mid-2016 and was dismissed in February 2017. He was employed to commission fingerprint documents because he was a valid commissioner of oaths. He'd been providing marriage and ANC services before, during, and after his employment with Fresh Start, Ansar said. He said, we understand the marriages to be valid. However, it's alleged the ANC services were not. He was not allowed to conduct marriages at one of the... Sorry, he was allowed to conduct marriages at one of the Fresh Start offices, that was the Canal Walk one, in his personal stroke own business capacity. Fresh Start never advertised these services. You can see there's a distancing there, as you can imagine. So yes, Fresh Start never advertised anything to do with marriages or ANCs or anything like that. He asked if he could do it, and they let him do it as a sort of sideline. But the interesting thing was the payment was made in some cases. Well, in Larry's case, I don't know beyond that. They might have been cash paid in other cases.
But it was made on their machine, and the service happened in their offices by their employees.
So it's a tricky one. Yeah. I'm not going to speculate on the legal issues there. Those are playing out in their own forums. But yes, you can understand Larry and his partner thinking it was very much something that was done by a representative
of the company.
Fresh Start, because that was their experience. So... Ansar Sachs went on, after the termination of the staff member, we immediately took responsible steps and alerted authorities, including the Home Affairs Office and Deeds Office, that what had happened, and that his notary public certificate was found to be fraudulent. It was actually from California. So even if it hadn't been fraudulent, it wouldn't have been valid here. Yeah. As the ex-staff member, that's Buchan, has indicated previously, the many hundreds of marriages conducted pre his employment with Fresh Start, and that was performed. He also did this at his residence after hours and weekends, which was nothing related to Fresh Start. And after termination, Buchan, according to Ansar Sachs, continued advertising marriage and notary services on Gumtree for some time. Then he talking about Larry, the man we're calling Larry. He said Larry has taken civil actions against Fresh Start Law Center for damages related to the ex-staff member's conduct as he was employed by Fresh Start at the time of the alleged incident. At present, our company representatives are defending the matter and will not be able to comment further. We have and will continue to support the multiple police investigations related to this ex-staff member. He did forward me an email he sent on the 2nd of February 2017 to Home Affairs and the Deeds Office saying this is what has come to light. So that definitely
okay,
did
so they
happen.
Did alert the authorities yes. that this guy was yes. operating fraudulently.
Mm.
Okay, so they're defending the civil action, but...
I felt it was important to mention this. Number one, not only in this instance, but in others, there are all sorts of ways to get married these days. Just yeah. to really, it's so important. I mean, I've had cases of people actually weren't married legally because the marriage officer wasn't
properly registered.
No, yeah. So to not take things at face value. Do your checks. It's just unfortunate that this is what we have to do as consumers. Take yeah. nothing at face value. And also because, as Larry says, how many other people are sitting in the same position? So whether that was done at Fresh Start or whether it was done by this man, you know, in his own home or wherever,
yeah,
there could be hundreds.
And I'm sitting here imagining, I mean, Wendy, imagine those people who will only discover this at the point where they decide to divorce, for example.
Exactly.
And find that their settlement and that they thought they were walking away with a house and a car that they brought into the marriage.
And they're not actually.
And they're not because they were actually married in community of property. It is appalling.
And that they
owe money on debts.
On debts, yeah. Exactly. 50% liable.
It is horrifying. It's yeah. a very interesting, somebody has WhatsApped to say that Grant Buchan also ran a garden service at the same time. We used him and he just disappeared.
Okay. So well, I don't let's know bear in mind there could be some other people
it could be,
called that. But
yeah, different
we've got
ones,
to say all
okay. Take it or leave it.
Cover
look,
ourselves.
It's not only about Joanne's case and Larry's case, and we will get to Joanne's case in just a minute. You've continued to receive a steady string of complaints from Fresh Start clients, particularly on the expungement issue,
yes.
haven't you, since we aired that story?
Absolutely. So our email mailed four of them to Ansar Sykes on Monday saying you don't have to respond individually to each case, thinking it could take beyond our show deadline to do that. But I said the general accusation is that money is taken swiftly, but services very slow to non-existent in some cases, long waits on the phone and emails not responded to. I asked, is Fresh Start of the view that it continues to supply a service for the money it asks for its services? Does the company have a staff shortage issue and wouldn't people be better off applying to the Department of Justice directly? He responded very shortly before we came on air,
okay.
and I haven't had a chance to summarize it. So let's see before we get to news how much I can get through. He
okay.
said, within Fresh Start's Law Center, all expungement applications are continually tracked by a sophisticated IT system that proactively keeps all customers upgraded on the progress via email, SMS, and real-time member portal system online. In certain isolated cases, the communicated timelines do unfortunately run over due to things such as fingerprint issues, the police database issues related to incomplete criminal records. He says in some cases we found the convicted individual provided a fake name when arrested, and this creates a further 1 to 2 month delay. He says there's sex offender verification and certification, and the client is arrested and or prosecuted for a new crime while we are trying to attend to the expungement. It would be interesting to know what percentage of those scenarios, what percentage of those cases had those
yeah.
scenarios behind them. He said about the staffing, Fresh Start Law Center has an 8-person team of dedicated online support consultants who operate 24/7, and we interface where required with the CSI in terms of operations and case managers departments for updates, resolve issues, etc. I'm not quite sure what that means. The main interface to the support department is to create a ticket via the online portal, member portal. In addition, we've got a 2-person team providing phone, website support. This allows customers to call in and the agent provides phone feedback on the status of the application. If required, the phone agents create a ticket for the support consultants. He says when it comes to delays, we find customers have been emailing, calling the wrong process. They are then educated and transferred appropriately. As a general statement, we encourage all customers with support-related queries to follow the correct process, that is, to create a support ticket. This support solution is carefully managed and implemented to ensure 100% response, escalation, resolution on all tickets. The current average response time is less than 16 business hours during a busy period. We have, and he said this in July to us, we have a 99.95% success record. The rejections do occur. Our terms of service cover these scenarios, plus the isolated delays. Where applicable, clients are covered by the 100% money-back guarantee.
Okay. There's a lot in there. Wendy, one of the things that you were told in the early investigation in July was that they supposedly had a consultant embedded at the Department of Justice, and that was why they were able to so-called fast-track and process these things. That turned out to be a stretch of the truth, shall
we
say.
Well, yes, yeah. Fresh Start still maintains that is the case, but I got a hold of the Ministry of Justice and Correctional Service spokesman Crispin Puri back in July and asked them about these consultants, private company consultants in the DOJ, and he's and of course the extra fees for fast tracking, and he said there was no special arrangement between the Department of Transport and any agency to fast track applications received via those agencies. And so Sykes then said there is an arrangement. He sent me something that I had to sign an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement, over. But he says that the fast-tracking, the fee that they charge for fast-tracking, and that's quite a lot, it's several thousand rand, that's for the that's for Fresh Start's man hours involved in speeding up the process and dealing with a huge number of calls and SMSs from anxious clients. So that's nothing. So in that sense, at least that we have agreement on that the money you pay for fast tracking doesn't go to the Department of Justice. It goes to the agencies to Fresh Start. But a lot of clients, obviously, you know, when they discover they need police clearance and what's stopping them from getting it, then it's usually an emergency situation. So yeah, a huge proportion, a majority of them will pay for that fast track.
Okay. Now, when we spoke in July, one of the things Ansar said was in Joanne's case specifically, they were going to refund her the money and still escalate her expungement process and story. And let me just recap the key salient details here. When we spoke to Joanne in July, she had been convicted of a minor crime more than 20 years ago, and she needed to get her record expunged so that she could take up the offer of a nursing job in the UK. And you may recall she told us she had paid Fresh Start 5,400 rand. This was in early April, to do the job for her. They said it will be done by the end of May. She followed up with phone calls. She was told emphatically, yes, you can go ahead and resign your job. It will be done by the end of May. So she did that. She resigned. She rented out her house. She sold her furniture. She cancelled her medical aid, all in preparation for leaving, only, of course, to find that expungement did not happen. And she ended up sleeping in her granddaughter's playroom, living in limbo. And Wendy, July, Ansar Sykes of Fresh Start said, we will, as a gesture of goodwill, refund Joanne's money and we will escalate her expungement process as a matter of urgency. Did it happen?
It's a complicated, the Fresh Start case is always complicated. It's a complicated answer that. Yes and no. Her daughter actually had paid for the process, correct, you'll remember, with her credit card in the UK. And she did get her money back. I've been tracking that. But she said it was only with her bank's help. She said she applied for chargeback, which is something we talk about a lot on this show. It's a lovely protection you have when you pay for goods or services with your credit card. She said because the refund wasn't done immediately. It was after the show. There was a long wait, and she decided to apply for chargeback before that window closed.
Smart woman.
So she told me the following. Ansar Sykes had 30 days to reply to them, being the bank, to dispute our claim. When they didn't hear from him, they refunded the money. He then had an additional 30 days to dispute the claim or ask the bank would reverse the refund. He has still not disputed the refund. 30 days pass and I still have my refund. So that happened. And then in terms of The actual expungement. I think we've got Joanne on the line.
We
to tell
do
us
indeed.
Herself.
So let's welcome her back to Cape Talk. Joanne, I'm so relieved to hear that your daughter did get her money back, even if she had to do it on her own via the bank in the end. Welcome to you. Did Fresh Start ever get your criminal record expunged for you? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hello to you guys, and thank you for doing the follow up. I presume that they did do the expungement, because I have received emails from them having said that they've done the expungement, but not within the time frame that ANSA gave on that day, on I think it was the 2nd of July?
Yes, it was early July, yeah.
Right, the money wasn't refunded to Leanne, my daughter. She went through the bank and did that. The 5,000 Rand, which he very kindly said he would pay to me to help me, never arrived, neither nor. On the 10th of the 7th, a chap here arrived here, and, on the 12th of the 7th, a chap here arrived here to do my fingerprints again. Now this is like the 7th set of fingerprints that I've submitted, without exaggeration, and you know, each time you do it, it's 114 Rand to do. This guy did not ask me for the 114 Rand, he just came and did my fingerprints, and off he went. And I asked him, well, what happens now? He said, oh, no, don't worry. You'll get an email. I did get an email, and the email basically said to me, I've just got to look them all up, you know, that it's now 66% or 55% completed. I then, in September the 11th, I think it was 11th of September, got an a message via my phone from the SAPS department saying that my expungement was completed and not to contact them. You know, don't contact back. So I didn't contact them because I can't do anything about it. And I'm still waiting. By the way, I have in the meantime been phoning Fresh Start to find out what happened. I eventually got hold of one gentleman who said to me, oh no, they're getting a batch of certificates this afternoon. I must phone back tomorrow because he thinks mine might be in there.
Sorry, Joanne, yeah, if I could jump in, what certificate are you talking about? Are you talking about expungement or police?
Your peace clearance.
Which is what you need to take up the job.
Yes. So now I've gone from expungement to police clearance within like one conversation with Fresh Start. And so I phoned the next day, and needless to say, my certificate wasn't there. And I've been, and I'm still waiting. And yesterday, the day before yesterday, I phoned the expungement department where a Captain Maria works, who is the guy that suggested in the beginning that I get hold of Fresh Start. And I spoke to him, and he said to me, he can't understand why I don't have my certificate, because in the meantime, I've had to now go and do another set of fingerprints at Brackendown's police station, because that's where I'm living now. So that's another 114 Rand out of my limited funds now. So I do that. I ask him, where will it go and when will it go and how will it go? I know they don't know when it will go. They don't know how it will go. One of the detectives might take it today or maybe next week sometime. This is, I think, on the 20th of September or somewhere around there. About 2.5 weeks ago, maybe okay. 3 weeks ago. So now I'm getting a bit stressed because my job is available to me in the UK up to and until the 1st of November, and then I lose the position.
Ooh, cutting it fine.
No, not fine isn't the word. It's like razor edge, okay?
Right.
So now I'm trying to ask these guys, please, can I not take them? Can I not take them to the criminal department or whatever, wherever I've got to take it? Give me the address, I'll take it. No, you're not allowed to take it. I said, well, give me the fingerprints and stuff, I'll make a plan. No, you don't have to take them. You have got to just wait to hear from us. So, fast track a few days now. I've now given up phoning Fresh Start. I haven't phoned them for probably a month now because I just find that I'm not getting anywhere with them. They're not answering emails. And I'm getting the most ridiculous emails from them saying really, really odd things. Like, you know, your clearance certificate is now 15%.
Having been told 55 before.
I mean, did the printer only...
before, and then 60, and then 95. It's now 15% ready for me. I mustn't worry about anything. But you know what? If I want to fast-track it, just give me some extra money. It was 1,200 Rand on the one, and then I get one. The other night was, which I think I sent to you. Wendy, with a guy by the way of, name of Wayne McGuire. So now I don't have Ansar as much the chappy that's signing anything. It's now a guy called Wayne McGuire. And he says, don't worry, you know, it's 15% and you'll get it soon enough sort of thing. Please. Day before yesterday morning.
This is the good part now, the good news.
Yes, this is the good news. I phoned Captain Marie, who says to me, can't understand, but my clearance certificate has been passed. It has all gone through, but it's now gone to Pretoria Central. Somebody picked it up and took it to Pretoria Central. So I said, but who would take it there? Because I don't live in Pretoria. Surely it would go to the police station where I've applied for it. He says, yes, it should be. So he's now not, he doesn't know where it's gone to. It's in somewhere in the Pretoria Central police station, but nobody can tell me where. So he says to me, what I must do is get in my car. He says, and come to 271 something Bart Avenue in Pretoria and tell them that I want a copy.
Oh, you got the copy.
So I got a copy.
And the copy is good enough?
Yes, because it's a proper print.
Okay.
Thank goodness.
Or whatever you want to call it.
So you have it in hand. You have the document
in hand,
which allows you now to go and take up that job. Joanne,
what I want to say before I go any further, you said to me, did I get my expungement? Yes, I did. But I do not believe that it was through Fresh Start.
Okay. You believe it was because of your own direct interventions?
That's right. With the help of another person who I can't say anything about.
Okay.
Okay, Joanne, the main thing is you now have the document you need to go. However, it's been several months. That must have eaten into your available funds. Are you still in a financial position where you're able to go?
No. I now have to really and truly try and find out what I can do to actually get there.
Oh, my word. Oh. You're going to get there, though. You haven't fought this hard to fail at the last hurdle.
I'm not giving up. I can't give up now. I've basically got to fly out on the 26th.
Okay.
The visas are £630 each. The tickets, I think, are about £13,000 or £14,000 each. So it's about, I need around about £50,000, which is what I've been using for the last couple of months to live on. I obviously have done some work off and on, but we term ourselves street children, meaning that we do agency work wherever they can send us.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that I work every day, and it doesn't mean that I can, you know, fill up my coffers all the time.
This is the big message, because that money that Joanne had set aside for the visas and the flights, she's had to spend
thinking
supporting herself.
End of May,
because she was told that she could resign. Joanne, I mean, I'm so sorry for what you have been through. I applaud you for not giving up and for keeping on fighting it. I'm so relieved to hear you have the document, and I really, really hope that you can get there in time to take up that job on the 1st of November.
Please let us know, Joanne.
Okay, Joanne, thanks so much for joining us.
Good luck.
Okay, and good luck to you. Boy, she just deserves to get there.
Yes, take up that post.
If you'll pardon the pun, have a fresh start in the UK.
Yes. Yeah. Well, on that note, we do have to, Ansar Sachs, former CEO, I'm not entirely sure what his capacity is now, but he got back to me, as I said, shortly before we came on air. He said about the refund, he said for this specific transaction, the client used an online payment gateway who interfaced between the banks. The only communication we have is between us and our online payment gateway, not any local or UK banks. It's interesting, similar to Yoko or PayPal. In parallel, we have and continue to provide a full service to Joanne. She no longer has a criminal record. We applied for the first police clearance. As indicated, there was a chance this could be premature. We had the Director General sign off on the expungement early August 2019. Unfortunately, one of the convictions, I wasn't aware there was more than one, was old, and the CRC, Criminal Record Centre, had outdated information and could not correctly erase the criminal record. We had to facilitate the collection of the old docket from the respective police and have it updated with the Criminal Record Centre. Early September 2019, we officially received the expungement certificate from the CRC. Joanne no longer has a criminal record. This was sent to Joanne immediately. I had our office resend this to her yesterday. A second police clearance was applied for. We are still awaiting this, as we have the official confirmation of the expungement, of the police clearance certificate, which will list no convictions. So there's two different versions there. Yeah. She got something from the company overnight or yesterday saying the process for the PCC, the police clearance certificate, was 15%. Anyway, she has it. However it happened, she has it. The daughter's money was refunded. The ordeal for her is over. They continue to be a lot of complaints about Fresh Start going through to Hello Peter. When I checked this morning, since Monday, there'd been 8. All saying what I said in the beginning, the questions that I put to the company was very slow responses. In fact, in some cases, money paid and then nothing. He came back, as I said before, the news and said there are these processes. Maybe they're not creating a ticket and engaging with the company in the correct manner or whatever. But, I think the story is not over yet.
It speaks for itself, as far as you ask me. Let's just finish with one WhatsApp before we take a break and come back with open line. Somebody saying, I needed to expunge a very old record, and I considered going through an agent, but all of the reviews were negative. I decided to go direct to government. The processes were slow, but 3 months later, I got confirmation that everything was sorted. I applied for a new job, which did check, and no record appeared.
So it seems to me that there's, you know, I think the people go to these agencies because they want to save time and hassle. But we've had so much feedback saying, if you're not in a screaming hurry,
do it yourself.
Do it yourself. It costs you nothing. And yeah.
Okay.
So that I would certainly suggest trying that first.
Thanks, Wendy. And thanks for following up and continuing to follow up on this one. And our best wishes go with Joanne. I really hope she is able to get to the UK in time to take up that job. Right. Open line after the ads, which means you can start calling us now on 021-446-056.
Cape Talk.
Consumer Talk.
Call now 021-446-0567.
Right, so we've got about 10 minutes to tackle some online questions and sort of open line questions. So call us on 021-446-0567 or do what Richard's done and send an SMS to 31567. Richard says, I'm a flooring business owner and employ subcontractors. They were meant to do work for me but have let me down after saying they would be there with a full team to install carpets, a verbal contract. Right. Now the clients are wanting their deposits back after I've bought the stock. Can I hold them responsible or even take them to court for a breach of verbal contract and claim damages? It's more a legal question than a consumer one, I think.
Well, I can answer to the consumer thing, and that is he's most definitely liable to his customers, as he probably knows, because they signed an agreement with him, and it's whatever private arrangement he has with the subcontractor, yes, is for him to take up. And yes, of course, he can take whatever action, legal action, he deems necessary to for breach of agreement and all of that. But, you know, this is Consumer Talk, so the prime thing I can respond to is to say that, unfortunately, he's in a terrible situation, obviously, but the clients need to be refunded or have the job done as agreed, regardless of who's let them down on the supply chain.
Okay, and Richard, I'll keep the rest of the question for legal talk next week Monday, and see if I can get you a perspective on the legal aspect of that story. Right, let's go to the lines. Malcolm has given us a call from Durbanville. Good afternoon, Malcolm.
Afternoon, Pastor. Hi there. Thank you for taking my call,
sure.
And hi to Wendy also.
Hi, Malcolm.
Yeah, hi, Wendy. Yes, Wendy. I just want to, you know, I'm standing very frustrated up here right now in the sense that I was driven into, a gentleman drove into the rear of my car. We were standing at a red traffic light. I was behind another lady. He drove into us from behind, like pretty seriously, smashed me into the lady in front.
Oh, no.
The lady in front was insured. I am unfortunately not insured. It's just a little car I bought in February. And the gentleman concerned is insured. Now, I eventually, after 3 weeks of him going on holiday to the West Coast to see the flowers and everything, after 3 weeks, I finally got information out of him having gone to his house and everything and submitted everything to his insurance. I got a total runaround with that. I've sent everything, mounds and mounds of papers and documents and forms to his insurance company, my driver's license, the whole caboodle, and nothing's happened. I've been phoning. Eventually, I chatted to the lady the other day, and she says her hands are tied because this gentleman says that his brakes failed And the insurance company state that if his brakes failed, his car wasn't roadworthy at the time of vehicle, and hence there is no claim. Now, I didn't accept that, of course, you can imagine, and I had a bit of a fight with him about 3 or 4 days ago. And the lady from the broker now sends me a note to say, unfortunately, as per previous discussion, we are not able to attend to your claim at this stage because, number one, our client denies a liability for his braking failure. Number two, our client's claim is not validated due to outstanding documents. And number three, our client has not submitted a copy of his driver's license. Now, I am saying that they know the client. They've got him on record. I've got a claim number. I have everything.
Okay.
But they are throwing all this in front of me as to not be able to settle my claim.
Okay, this is one of the reasons why it's really not advisable to not have your own comprehensive insurance. I know it's a cost, but big or small, your car can cost you a lot of money if you have no insurance. So essentially what happens is you have no right to make any demands on that man's insurance company because they have no contract with you. They have a contract with their client to put him back in the position that he was before the insured event, whether it was his fault or not. You know, if your brakes failed, his claim can fail. They can. I'm not entirely buying the brake failure story. The company, the insurance company, would most definitely check that out. But in any event, the third party claim, which is yours, Malcolm, is separate from his claim to repair his vehicle. So his third party insurance protects him from being sued by you. So that is a separate claim. I would try and go around the broker and go directly to the insurer and pursue that. And if you'd like us to give you a bit of help on that, you could just email us and I'll see if you could include all the details in one email to avoid me having to go back to you for policy numbers.
Already.
You have done that already. My apologies. When was that?
Last night.
Last night.
Just last night. I forwarded after this last phone call.
Okay.
Can I just fill you in on two really quick things? Number one, the gentleman said his brakes failed. When I got to see him and chatted to him, I asked him, did you have to have your car towed from the scene? Because there were two breakdowns there. And he said, no, I drove home.
Yeah, with
faulty brakes. Yeah. Yoof.
Okay,
thank
as I said,
much.
not buying that one, yes. Probably on his phone, more likely.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I assumed. Because there was no chance of him even breaking the heater so hard.
It's quite common.
Put it that way.
Yeah.
And secondly, just to point out also, which I said to the lady at the broker the other day, I said, you as the insurance company are surmising that this gentleman's vehicle was not in roadworthy condition. Just to fill her in, I said that the breakdown guy and the son-in-law of the lady in front, whose vehicle I hit, we were both commenting on the immaculate condition of this gentleman's vehicle. It's an Opel Astra, must be a good 10, 15 years old, like the day it came off the showroom floor. It is beautiful. But nobody has ever sort of considered taking all these things into account. But because they're stating now, they have their hands are tied because this gentleman is not giving them any feedback.
Okay, I think you've battled along enough. I will find that email, do a search for it when we come off air, and I'm hoping all the details are there and see what I can find out because this case is not adding up.
Yeah.
As I say, regardless of whether his claim was successful or not for his own vehicle, the third-party claim is separate. And the facts of the matter is that you were stationary and this car hit you from behind. So that third-party claim should succeed.
Okay, Malcolm, thanks for flagging it. And it's a story to be continued. I really hope Wendy
I'd like
is
to come back to air with
to,
this one now that we,
yeah,
the listeners have
heard the start.
Yes, I'm hoping to do that.
Okay,
yes.
We'll hopefully be able to bring you a resolution and a happy ending to that one at a later date. Okay, we can very quickly take a call from Terry in Simonstown. Good afternoon, Terry.
Hi, Pippa and Wendy. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Quickly, I want to know what are the consumer rights when you take your car to a dealership for a service and they charge you, unbeknowing, three times what a normal mechanic would charge you.
Okay. So
Can I name the type of car that I've got?
Okay.
So it's the smallest Volvo. So I've been taking it to that dealership for 7 years. Unbeknownst to me, after 7 years, you can't buy a warranty. And that's when they hit you with the service. On the day you arrive, they say, oh, your car's no longer in warranty, and this is what it's going to cost you. And flashing on your dashboard is service, so you don't want to leave there in case you're driving a dangerous car and something goes wrong. So you leave it there, and on the way up, I popped into another Motors, and I said, what would you charge to change a cam bolt? And he said, look, it's probably under 4 hours, $1,800. They charged me 12,828 rand.
Wow, so more than that. This is the crux before we have to end the show, Terry. Did you request a quote before you drove away, or did you just trust that it would be a reasonable amount?
They presented on the way down at 7 o'clock in the morning to drop the car off. They phoned me only then to alert me my car was out of warranty. And then when I arrived, they had got in that they'd drawn up an invoice. And I said, well, I don't know what, you know, if this costs. It seems totally exorbitant to me. But
they've already done the work at that point?
No.
Okay. So that you were given a chance to approve the cost before they went ahead?
Well, I'm a lay person. I don't know what these things cost. And afterwards, I thought, that seems an awful lot. Let me just ask, you know.
So, sorry, Terry, that would have been taken as an approval if you didn't say, I'm not happy with this, unfortunately, that you didn't say no and don't go ahead. I want to take it elsewhere or get other quotes, so that they would have covered themselves there because you were presented with the invoice before they went ahead with the work. So sorry.
Okay, yeah. Sorry, Terry. We are so often caught in such a difficult position because we don't, as laymen, know. I don't know the first thing about what car parts cost, Wendy. I'm in the same boat.
And this
boat.
Was the first time it had been out of warranty, so I get it. But the time to say, well, hold on, I want to check,
that's
would have been then, not before. You know, to find out later once they were doing the work is too late, unfortunately.
And I guess it speaks to good planning on your car servicing and regular servicing on schedule, which leaves you the time to phone around for quotes, etc. if you want to have that option. I'm sorry, Terry, to end on that downer of a note. But Wendy, it's been a very busy show, and thank you so much for the bulldog work you put in on behalf of our complainants.
Thanks,
we'll chat again next week,
Wednesday.
Okay,
yes.
A reminder that you can always email a question to Wendy on consumer@nola.co.za, spelled KNOWLER, at nola.co.za.